Welcome to Your Divorce Planner Podcast. I'm your host, Heidi B., certified divorce coach, event expert, and go-to gal for navigating the next steps of your divorce journey. I'm so happy you've tuned in for the tools, topics, and truth talk to start transforming your life today. I truly believe that with a powerful planning partner, you will heal the heartbreak and move forward faster. Without further delay, let's continue creating your comeback today. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We have a phenomenal guest for you today. We have Tiffany T. Griffin, who owns and operates the Griffin Law Group, a small divorce and criminal law firm in Pennsylvania, where she is highly respected among the matrimonial bar and among judges for her extensive knowledge of the law, her integrity, and her work ethic. Through her career, Tiffany has handled countless divorces, both simple and complex. She also takes on numerous child support matters that deal with establishment of paternity, child support orders, interstate cases, appeals, and litigates countless custody cases. Tiffany understands the emotional tax that her clients may come to her with, and she is straightforward in her approach, and she really knows how to execute your case effectively. Tiffany is admitted to practice law in Pennsylvania's Common Pleas Courts, the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, New Jersey Courts, and New Jersey Federal Courts. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me, Heidi. You know, when you read all of that out, it's like, man, I've done a lot.
Right? You're not the first person to say that. It's a really nice reflective moment for our guests, our experts to go, wow, I got the credentials and the backing to really show up for people the way that they need me. And I'm so glad that you have the backing, because today we're going to explore so many top tips from a divorce lawyer. And this is a topic that we haven't really talked a lot about on the show, is having someone with your expertise on and really coming to bring an answer a lot of those hot button questions. So we have that hot topic today. But before we dive in, I would just love it if you could share with us a little bit of why you're so passionate about the work that you do.
You know, I come from a family where my parents, they separated when we were younger. I'm one of eight. Siblings. I know. But it was an amazing thing, because my parents, you know, even though they were not good together, they co-parent and they got along. I mean, phenomenal. Like, you would, if you met them today, you would think that they were still together, but they're not. Did such a fantastic job with us growing up, I think, separate, like, you know, and honestly, you know, it really does take a village. It really does take working together and co-parenting together. And, you know, even if you can't be in that space with each other, you know, and I know a lot of people stay together for the kids or for all different types of reasons, but I think, you know, what my parents taught me, I think is very valuable, because they were incredibly happy people not together.
Yeah, I really love that perspective too. They were really happy people not together anymore.
Yeah.
Divorce can actually be a really big blessing in so many different ways, and especially having a family of eight children, able to show up for your kids in a way that they don't even realize all of the traumatic aspects of parental separation, I think is a really powerful message. And it takes a lot of efforting and it takes a lot of resources sometimes, but to be able to just choose that for yourself so that you can show up better for your kids separately is so powerful.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, when you talk about showing up, I think they showed up for themselves first, you know what? And in that, you know, we saw, I don't know, I just think it was a beautiful example, because, you know, I didn't see them moping around depressed, or, you know, like how some people are, and, you know, they try to, you know, put on this thing and for the kids or for something else, but for all types of reasons. And I just, you know, and I don't want to, you know, people stay married for all types of reasons, and that's okay too. But just my parents and the example that they gave me, just seeing them very vibrant and happy together, separate, it was powerful for me and my siblings. I mean, we still joke about it today. you know, we're getting ready for the holidays. And it's funny because my mom called and was like, oh, well, I talked to your dad. He's thinking about doing. And it's like, huh.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be this destructive, toxic, continuous path. And everyone's journeys are absolutely very unique. Relationships go in all different directions. Family matters are a precious piece of an interesting road to go down. Once you have to go through the settlements and things like that, especially litigation, it can get really messy. And so the fact that they have been a beautiful example of a healthy way for everybody is a really beautiful. I love that it brought you to the space that you are in now where you can bring that light to the work that you do as a lawyer.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's great. That's great. You know, finding the right lawyer for yourself and knowing how you can be the best partner with that lawyer are really important when navigating the legal side of divorce. But finding the right lawyer can feel a little daunting if you've never done it before, and most of us haven't, right? Yeah. Divorces, it's such a vulnerable process already. So going into partnership with a person who's responsible for the legalities of this means that you kind of want to choose wisely, you know? Choose wisely and put a little effort into it. So from the perspective of a great divorce lawyer, what suggestions and tips and advice can you give us when looking for and choosing someone? What should we look for when we're trying to choose the right person to work with?
Right. Yeah. There's a number of things, you know, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of times when my clients come to me, I know they're very conscious about costs and what is this going to cost me? And so I do think it's important, especially a lot of these situations are never without emotion. People are very, very, very emotional about this because, you know, people have been married or together for years and now their lives are about to change. So there's like an emotional tax or emotional weight that you're carrying when you're making this decision. So a lot of what I tell people to look for is somebody that is compatible with you. You know, like if you need, some people need handholding through their divorce process. And if that's something that you need and you know that you need that, it's kind of one of those things that you need to look for to see how, if your attorney or if the attorney that you're going to hire or seeking to hire is going to be available to you and to help, you know, because not a lot of people need a whole lot of handholding, but some do. And you want somebody that's competent, not just in the field of law, but with how the law is going to treat your particular situation. Because in divorces, no two divorce cases are the same. Mm-mm. Just like no one person is the same or no fingerprint is the same. There's always a slight difference or something that's in the dynamic that's different, that's just specific to you or your case. And you want to make sure that that person knows how to navigate that. You know, do you understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also I would advise, I try to advise my clients, or let them know that locale matters. Here in Pennsylvania, we, you know, there's a number of different counties or boroughs, and depending on where you are, or I do a lot of work in Media, Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, and every different courtroom or every different county, excuse me, is different.
Yeah.
All of the counties in Pennsylvania will have their own process of how they do divorces. So something might be different. And you want to find an attorney that is familiar with that process, maybe even familiar with the judges, so that they know what their jurisprudence is, and they can tell you when you're talking to them, well, you know, this judge isn't going to treat your situation like that because, and here's why.
Yeah.
Or you know, if we do this, this judge might look at your case differently, and here's why. So I encourage people to just look at like a number of things, competence in your case and what's going on, the location, compatibility, maybe even their availability.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
By availability?
Yeah.
Well, for example, I know if you're at a bigger law firm, like big law firms, they handle a lot of cases. And sometimes either they're going to be getting back to you, or maybe somebody in there on their team, their staff, or somebody's going to be getting back to you. Or maybe they're going to have to schedule you in to talk to you. Or so you want to know, you know, if you can I call you? Sometimes I give out my cell number, but let's be honest, I'm not going to answer you at 7 o'clock at night or, right. You know, when I'm home having dinner.
That's what they call me.
Right. Then I give them your number, Heidi.
Right. Exactly.
I'll shoot a text. Hey, can you just call Heidi?
That's right. Exactly.
But no, honestly, it's sometimes emergencies happen. For example, I'm working on a case where I had my client that was kicked out of the house. And it's like, where am I going? What do I do? I'm telling you, emotions run high. And
yes,
if I need to get you for emergencies, are you available? Can I, you know, can I reach you? And if I can, how? And also not only that, but how much is it going to cost?
Yes. Transparency too, right?
Oh,
is somebody going to be willing to talk finances with you so you can be prepared and realistically build the picture around that, right? Not just kind of trickery of things, because that's such a sensitive topic.
Absolutely. It's one of the things when I'm doing my consultations, I always try to finish up with, this is what my fees are. This is what my hourly rate is. And by fees, I mean retainer fees. And then you have court costs. And this is how you're going to be billed. This is how often. This is how you're going to be billed. And this is, if you have a question about billing, this is how you can reach me and talk to me about this. I think transparency on billing is incredibly important.
Transparency really builds trust, right? So if it starts with this transparency of, I can know what I'm going to expect. I can trust that this person is going to follow through in the way that they said they were, and they're not going to kind of throw these onesie two. They're not going to try to get me, right? Because when you're already going through this experience, sometimes you already are so emotional, you kind of already feel gotten. Like, oh, I got thrown off on that one by my ex, and now my lawyer's kind of messing with me. And that's not a good feeling when we can't have that transparency, which equals trust with somebody who is helping us figure out then what the next steps of our life are going to look like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and you know, when you're talking about divorce, you're talking about going from two incomes to one income. And if there's children involved, you know, now you're talking about, how do I feed my children? How do I, you know, afford their extracurricular activities or their daycare or things like that? So finances, I think it's vital in the discussion when you're looking for, when you're talking to any attorney that you're going with, because you have to, you know, you have to be cognizant of that. Like, all right, I need to be able to afford this. It can get incredibly expensive. And which is why I encourage my clients not to try to do anything to increase their debt at this point, if you're going through a divorce, because, you know, I think the price of the attorney and also having one income can be a sticker shock for most.
So. Yeah. I know for me, I was living in California at the time. So,
that's a thing about there.
Yeah. We had moved from Michigan to California, and on our third year together in California, that's when divorce hit. So we had to get divorced in the state of California and hire a lawyer in the state of California. To your point, location really, really is key. Location, location, location matters when you're seeking out an attorney in this space for all the reasons you stated and then some, right? It's so vital. It's so crucial. But I remember already living a little bit above my means because the price of cost of living was insane. And then we decided to live in a bit of luxury because we had a dual income and we both made good money. So we thought, we can afford this two-bedroom apartment on the beach in, you know, Orange County. Awesome. And then we went in and it was like, okay, now everything is now in half. Oh, you need to find a space to live. You need to pay your lawyer fees. There are so many things associated. And we didn't even have kids. That lends a whole nother level of things. But that, like you said, transparency builds the trust, makes everybody feel like they're comfortable, and then also builds credibility for you, that you as my lawyer followed through on what you were going to say, and I can refer you out to somebody else that's going to maybe go through something later and say, you can trust Tiffany. Like, she's legit. She's going to tell you exactly how it is, and you'll know what to expect going through. So there's no more surprises. It is what it is, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was just thinking about like telling people how it is. I have to do that all the time. And sometimes I have to like do it in a way where it penetrates through, but it also doesn't like offend. Cause again, people are very emotional and sometimes people don't want to hear the truth.
The truth. I mean, the saying the truth hurts couldn't be any more of a reality going through divorce. Like, the truth hurts. You may lose the dog, right? You may lose a lot of money. You may have to adjust. You may have to go back to work. It's just like, you may lose the house or you may take on the house. And now that's a whole different side of things. People always think like, I want to take it all. I want to take the house. But I've talked to so many experts who say like, there is so much more consideration to go into your assets than people realize. It's not just about taking it all on. It's about really sitting with, what does my future look like? And what can I actually manage in a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, that's not going to set me back in 10 years, even though I don't see it right now.
Yeah. And sometimes I tell, if there's no kids involved, sometimes I tell people, you don't want the house, because the tax consequences and everything that comes with maintaining this property it's going to cost you more to liquidate it and get this asset. And, you know, it's like, sometimes it's just a headache, and it's like, either we sell it or let's look at something else. Maybe we can exchange, like, you know, take a portion of the stocks or something else and let other side keep the house.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's really interesting, because in hindsight now, we were living in California. We were renting out our house together. So we had to actually take back full ownership of the house once we got divorced, so that we could eventually sell it. That was kind of like the last thing that we had together. And neither of us decided that we wanted it. And I'm so glad that I decided not to keep it, because I could have moved back to Michigan and lived in my old house, and it was a beautiful neighborhood and all the things. But when I went back, Tiffany, to sell that house, I went back by myself with my mom, and I remember feeling so choked up and so emotional. It was like my whole life came flooding back. And to have a constant reminder of the memories you made and shared in a house actually wasn't emotionally wealthy for me. It wasn't emotionally healthy or wealthy. And being able to use those funds to invest in another space that made me feel like my new, true, empowered self was one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah. I believe it. And also, can you imagine like still putting more time, energy, and money into that house in California? I mean, I look at you, you're doing so well, such great things. I'm proud of you, but it's like letting go of that thing helped you move on to this and blossom into this beautiful thing that you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With this lifestyle that you have today. And I'm sure it was emotional. I'm sure it was hard, but you know, pressure builds diamonds. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's another thing to look for, is just the honesty. Is your lawyer going to be willing to tell you the things that you may not want to hear, but they truly believe are in your best interest? That can be hard to hear in the moment, but you can look back and go, that person had my back. They knew it. They saw it. They could detach emotionally because they're not living in it. And a lot of times I think the emotions is what holds us back from getting what we really, really need in those moments and kind of moving through the legalities at a quicker pace.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that. Honestly, I've actually lost clients in the initial interview from being honest. Yeah. I'd lose a couple and then they come back later. It's funny. They had either tried to do it themselves and just screwed up the whole process, or they went somewhere else. And then after spending loads of money and getting to where I told them that they would possibly go anyway, they come back. All right, Tiffany, can you help me get through this? Because, and it depending, you know, if they tried to do it themselves or not, I'm like, well, now I have a whole different set of, a different speech that I have to give you, because it's, things have changed because of, this is what you kind of screwed up or gave up here or didn't know about. And, you know, now might not get that back type things. So
yeah. Let's talk a little bit about trying to do the legal stuff on your own. I cannot imagine someone trying to do this. I can't even believe that it's an option for people to do. It's kind of like, to me, doing your taxes on your own is crazy, but I understand that there's like a step-by-step process, right? But I'm so afraid I'll screw that up that I leave that to an expert. But I cannot even imagine trying. I had a hard enough time trying to change my last name after divorce. Can you imagine? Tell me why, some of the reasons why someone should seek legal counsel rather than trying to do it on their own.
Well, you know, you could probably, I don't know, fix your own broken bone or like cut out your own spleen. You probably, but won't be a great job at it. But seriously, I can give you a couple of examples, what I've seen before. And I've seen people like do this, go through and they try to file a divorce complaint. And a divorce complaint, it's just the initial paperwork that gets you in the door, that gets your divorce started. And every county, again, every county, it's a little bit different in Pennsylvania. And it needs maybe a certain thing or a certain extra piece of paper or something that goes with it. And it's funny because I know in some counties, they'll accept the filing and the filing fee, which can run you $300 or $400, maybe even $500, depending on what's in that complaint, what you're alleging, what you want to see happen. And they'll take the complaint, they'll take your fee, and then maybe a couple of days later, they'll send you a notice or a letter letting you know that it's wrong. And nobody tells you why it's wrong because, you know, they can't give you legal advice. You have to seek an attorney for that. So I seriously had a client once that filed the divorce complaint three different times before they sought out and got an attorney. And by this time I was thinking, you've already paid like half of your retainer.
That just makes me feel so much pain for that person. It really does. Like, oh no.
It's like, it's so funny because, well, it's not funny, but it's one of those situations. It's like, you know, if you just, I know you did it to try to save some money, but at this point you're tripping over nickels to save a penny. And it's like, I encourage people to at least talk to an attorney to try to get, to see if you can get comfortable, to find somebody that you trust, to find somebody that you, and it can be hard, but you know, they are out there. Attorneys, trustworthy, competent, reliable, available attorneys are out there.
Yeah.
And you can find them if you just do a little work, just a little work. Like the work that this client put into drafting their own complaint and the money that they spent on filing it three different times, that energy and that, those, you know, that could have gone into look, searching for and interviewing attorneys and finding the right one to help get them started with the divorce process. Yeah. If nothing else, just getting them started, getting their foot in the door. So, I mean, I do encourage people to talk to somebody, talk to somebody about these things. Like divorce, it can be a long process. It can be very long, very drawn out, very emotional. And I'll give you another example, Heidi. I had somebody else come to me after this process was almost, well, what they thought was almost over, have to go back and refile because And what I mean when I say that is this divorce, this particular person had done, it had taken them 2 years to get to the finish line, just to turn around and have to, you know, call me and say, Tiffany, I can't, like, we did the consultation. I looked at all the paperwork and I was like, okay, this is where you screwed up, and you screwed up in the beginning. And though nobody caught it in the beginning, we have to go back now and start over. Because, and it might take, and let's hope that it doesn't take another 2 years or so before you're divorced.
Wow. So, I mean, it just pains me to hear that on so many levels, but emotionally, it's already so draining to do all of the nuances of the legal side of divorce. No one, I'll put it this way, you guys, no one should have to go at that part alone.
Right.
Period. Just right. Like on my side of the tracks, no one should have to go through creating the next chapter for themselves on their own. It's hard enough not knowing the roadmap and the next best steps to take and how to go about doing that for yourself. Like, don't do it alone. Pair up with a coach, get a community going, and get yourself going and growing in the right direction. Same thing with the legal side, because I consider myself like the lifestyle side. The legal side, no one should have to do that process alone. This isn't right. to take all your money and drain you so that you can't have a better life. This actually is to set you up for the best possible outcome for the next chapter and the rest of your life, so that you don't screw something up, because there are financial pieces and there's custody pieces and there's personal pieces. There are just so many different elements that need to be accounted for, that if you don't know what you're looking for or what your county says or all of the mix of all of the things, there's just like, there's no way one person can Google a checklist on this. This is why you go to school for a very, very long time in order to help people and partner with people to set you up for the most successful outcome you can possibly get. And sometimes it hurts like hell, but it's still, if you partner with the right person, it gets to be a better outcome than just trying to save a couple bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and honestly, save a couple of bucks and you could probably save yourself some time, you know, can you imagine getting like 2 years in and then it's like, oh, all I have to do is file this last thing and I get a divorce. And it's, and then you get a letter, you get a nice little letter saying this is missing, that's missing. And these other pieces are missing. And, you know, I'm looking over all of this stuff and I was like, yeah, but this piece was back a year and a half ago. This piece was due at the beginning. And it's like, all right, let me see how fast and quickly I can get you through this, how painlessly I can get you through this. And can you imagine the extra emotional toll that comes with, you know, you think you're about to be set free from this thing so you can move on with your life, just to be shackled back in. So,
and the other part of that too is it's already tough enough just to wake up in the morning and then go to your job and possibly take care of kids or pets or just take care of yourself. Quite frankly, it was just me and it was tough enough. But then to try to keep track of deadlines and laws and submissions. And I mean, there's just so many things that can get missed and go wrong, to try to keep track of all that when you can barely remember to go get groceries, right? Or to show up to work on time. No one has the mental capacity. You just don't have that mental capacity at that point.
Right. And you would be lucky if the law didn't change or something didn't change, like a little piece of it didn't change. And I had another client that, you know, the courts would not finalize his divorce because they were, well, the law changed in this aspect, so we need you to go back and, you know, redo the order or redo and resubmit it. And it's like, where's this law? Where's this new law? And I was like, yeah. So to have to keep track, you're right, to have to keep track of what you have going on and then kind of like learn the legal piece this quickly to get yourself through it. I don't know how people do it. Like,
no,
I can't even imagine.
No, I do not recommend that at all. So you had mentioned kind of the interview process and mentioning too, you know, you do consultations. I've heard that from other divorce team members saying like, hey, before you commit get a consultation with somebody, ask them a bunch of questions, interview them. They are turning into your partner here, a big pivotal part of what's next for you. So what are some like must ask questions in that process? What do you advise?
Well, we did talk about a couple of things, but one of the things that I really want, I don't think I can express enough is costs. Like, you know, because again, we're going from two incomes to one income. So, you know, you can sit and you can ask your attorney, like, who's going to be working on my case and what is that going to cost me? So in firms, you have, sometimes you can have more than just that attorney that's on your case. Sometimes you might have their paralegals on it or a junior partner or somebody else that's doing work on your matter. And for each of these different people or these different pieces, the costs can be different. For example, if you are a junior partner or a junior associate working on the firm, your fee, your hourly rate is going to be different versus a senior partner or somebody that's been there longer versus the paralegal that's just doing research or filing or things like that. So when we're looking at our incomes being divided, going from a two income house to one income house and maybe living in an apartment and eating ramen noodles, I want to know how am I going to be billed and who's going to be working on my case? Is it going to be primarily you or who's going to be assigned what, how often, and what is that going to cost me? What is your hourly rate versus what this person's hourly rate is? And again, that transparency, that should be something that an attorney can at least, if they can't give you the exact amount of time somebody or some particular person is going to be working, they can 100% tell you what their hourly rate is going to be and a little bit more about what types of assignments this particular person is going to be doing. I know my paralegal, she does my research. So if I just need research done and putting together a little packet for me, her hourly rate is completely different. It's like $80 an hour versus my hourly rate, which you're looking at about $300 an hour. So you can see the difference and that really adds up. You want to maybe talk about how long they've been in the location, if they're familiar with these judges. I know a lot of in Media, Pennsylvania, which is where my office is, it's one of those things. It's where I want to know what judge I'm in front of, how your case is going to be treated in that court. And I want to be able to tell you, look, we can't do this or we can do this. You have a good case because we have, you know, this judge. This is how this judge would look at this. And also, again, I think I would want you to look for and have reasonable expectations in your interview. And I try to tell my clients to be very, you know, I would encourage people to be very clear in their concerns and their situation, and then specifically ask their attorney how they feel or what they think the law is going to what the law's response is to their particular situation and how maybe a court or a judge is going to treat that specific situation.
Wow. Those are really, really important questions, especially, you know, asking about the outcome and expressing your concerns, being really honest about what situation that you're in and asking who's on the team. Because I think that sounds like a gimme, like, oh, of course. I'm interviewing you. You're the team, right? You're my person. You're my go-to. Not realizing that the team may stretch beyond the person that you're sitting on the call with, which is attached to a whole nother slew of things. I would also wonder if a good question to ask is what's based on after I've shared, you know, what I've been going through and what my situation is, after I've shared my situation, maybe being able to ask the anticipated amount of hours. How much time do you think that you're going to need as my lawyer to take me through this process? You know, is this going to be 8 hours? Is this going to be 80 hours? Is it going to be 800 hours? You know, like what do you think that's going to look like based on what you know about me. And I know that that will could potentially change, right? Based on the things that you're going to uncover, right?
Yeah. Well, because so I do my initial, there's no way I can get through your whole life in an initial consultation.
Yeah.
But I can pretty much ballpark it. If you, if you're upfront, if you're honest, if you tell me if you come in knowing what assets you have, if you come into my office knowing what you want you want to take away from this, and also knowing if the other side is going to be, you know, if they're agreeable to the divorce or not, you know, right. Sometimes people evade divorces, you know. It's funny. We have a process server, and sometimes we have to send out our process server to serve the initial complaint, which is another fee. But sometimes it's needed in cases where people literally leave the state.
They're running away from it. They're like, I'm not going to take that piece of paper. No, thanks.
Or leave the country.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And that's a whole different can of worms, different can of expenses. And I've seen it happen. I've actually handled it. And, you know, where that could have been 80 hours now just turned into 200 hours because now I know that the other side is going to evade this process at all turns, at all costs. And so I'm going to have to be very clever in how I, you know, how I move, what I do.
Yeah. So. Making adjustments on the fly, it sounds like, as you uncover different pieces and things that people are growing through, getting through. I think I know the answer to this, but I want our listeners to know your perspective on it. When should you get a lawyer involved?
Let me think. So let me ask, when do you mean? Do you mean like if I know that I'm getting a divorce or?
Yeah, like I know we've communicated, it's happening. Should I maybe wait a little while and poke around, you know, like online, or should I kind of, what should I be Googling certain things or thinking about certain things in advance? Or, I mean, we kind of answered this a little bit in the beginning of doing things on your own.
Yeah, no.
Sooner the better type of a thing, or give yourself a little time, or what does that look like?
You know what? Honestly, I think it's different for each person, but I don't think you should wait too long. I never encourage people waiting too. If you've had that conversation, if you guys know that you're getting divorced, then honestly, it's kind of like ripping off the Band-Aid type thing.
Yeah.
And for several reasons, let's not wait until after the holidays. Holidays are going to be that much harder. You know what I mean? And probably even different. And even if you are in nice and cordial to each other now, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? So, and if you are nice and you are cordial, I encourage you, and you know that you want the divorce, then that is honestly the best time to do it. Because, you know, when you're not emotionally drained or emotionally, you know, burdened with this whole process, it's like when the emotional trauma that comes with this can really change a person. I've seen really good people at their worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've seen them make or want me to make very, very, very bad decisions when they're emotional about it. So if you're cordial with each other, if you know that you guys want to get a divorce, it's my professional opinion that you should not wait until after the holidays to do it.
Mm.
You know, a lot of things can blow up.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. What are the best ways to prepare in advance to make your divorce more efficient? Like, is there anything I could do on my end to be a better partner for my divorce lawyer?
Right. Well, so I think if you've already talked about it, or even if you know that you're going to be getting a divorce, I think it's really good to start going through your assets and starting, you know, so it's great to have to take to your divorce lawyer. After you've signed all of your initial agreements, you and your divorce attorney have engaged in what we call a financial agreement with each other, or I'm taking you on as my client.
Yeah.
Then I would look for documents pertaining to what's marital and what's premarital assets. And premarital assets are just those items that you brought into the marriage. Mm. Like maybe you had a car prior to being married, or maybe you had something, a trust account or something prior to the marriage, or 401k prior to the marriage. And that property is premarital. However, the interest on that property can be marital. It's marital. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you want to start gathering documents from the date that you guys, the two parties got married, to the date that you decided to separate.
Ah. And
that can be different from the date that you filed your divorce complaint. So, and it's very, very helpful when we're talking about dividing assets and how things are going to be split, because it makes it go a lot faster, you know, because we have to sift through all of this, these documents, and, you know, and I don't want to have to keep calling you or contacting you or reaching out to you or having to subpoena documents from the other side or things like that. All of these things make your bill go up, up, up.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it can drag out the divorce process if I have to get a continuance because I need more documents from you or from the other side so that we can talk about how we're going to divide this asset. So I would say going through your assets, gathering documents, and those documents just being statements. It can be really hard because a lot of things, people are married for 20 and 30 years.
Yeah, it goes back.
Statements from 30 years ago.
Not me. Yeah, it's a process for sure. Yeah.
It can be a process, but also, you know, I would in preparing, I would look and to see if I have a will. I would want to go start to update that will because, you know, even if once you start going through the process or getting this divorce started, it's a lot of people forget to go back and change that will. And the next thing you know, their spouse is in line to get all of these things that they would not get otherwise because, you know, now we're divorced, but I forgot to update the will. So
yeah, I remember one of the things I forgot to update, which was literally, it's embarrassing to say, it's not embarrassing anymore. But, you know, when I finally realized, I was like, oh my gosh, was my beneficiary.
Yeah.
On my, you know, my 401k.
Yeah.
It was like my beneficiary 2 years after I was married, he was still on there. And I finally went in like, whoa, I mean, had anything happened, he was going to take, you know, get taken care of.
Yeah. But nobody thinks of these things. So
yeah.
That's what we're talking about because they're really good things to consider and to look at when we're preparing for this.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So many things.
Yeah, for sure. What kind of common mistakes do people make that makes the divorce process harder or longer?
So there's a couple of different things, but I think I'm just thinking about a couple of cases that I had. I think one of the things that can make this a little bit longer is I would say let's not refuse therapy. Or a good therapist.
Sure. Absolutely. You having know, someone to really drop the emotional side of it somewhere and talk through that is big.
Right. It's huge. And because I do a lot of work and sometimes I have to take on the therapy hat and it's like, I hope I'm doing the right thing because I'm really good at divorce. I'm very good at divorces and holding your hand through that. But sometimes people need a therapist and it's like, do you know what you're paying me to be your therapist right now? And I don't even have a license to be a therapist.
Right. Right. And I think this is a really important piece because it's a lot of 50% of my clients are not yet divorced and 50% of my clients are. They've mm-hmm. signed on the dotted line. It's over. But the other half, they're not. And I know how beneficial it is for them to be able to pop in to my community or to myself when they're going through the heartache of it.
Yeah.
So that you, as the legal expert, can spend all of your time and energy and focus on just that, on what they hired you to do. And it's easy to forget. And I forgot this with my lawyer too, just so you know. I forgot because he was so caring. He cared about me as a person, which is a great trait to have. But because of that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard, you know, and you lean into this person that you're so trusting of at this really vulnerable time, and they're there for you. But you're, like you said, you're paying them to listen to your emotions rather than just letting them spend all of their hard earned energy and your hard earned money on what they're so stinking good at. So to find another person who's so stinking good at the emotional side is just a beautiful and therapy is really good for a lot of people. Really good.
And yeah, and honestly, and a lot of people don't see that it can really make your divorce a little bit longer, because not because you're leaning into your attorney, but because sometimes you'll be too afraid to pull the trigger on a thing, or well, I don't want to do this, or and it's like, okay.
I call that getting stuck in the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your mind is wrapped around this story that you just keep telling yourself over and over and over and over again. And if you can get somebody to help you shed the story, I call it shed the shit, or get rid of your BS beliefs. I'm like, oh, we're in the BS beliefs right now. Let's work on it. And I'm pretty straightforward like you are too, where I'm like, we're in it. And once they learn that, I'm lovingly saying, listen, you're in it right now. Can you see it? Let me help you see it. Now let's learn how to flip the switch off of this activation so that you can come back to your true self, your real self, your centered self, and then you can give your lawyer the answer that you actually need right now to turn things around and get through this thing, because it stinks to get caught up in litigation. It just does.
And it can be costly. Like, these things are costing you. Like, these, like, if we have to do this divorce can be 1 year, 2 year, 3, 4 years down the road, but a lot of people get stuck and they don't want to move forward. And it's like, okay, well, you know, this is what it's going to be. Like, this is what it's going to cost. And sometimes, and we have kids involved. And a lot of times I see kids involved, and I also encourage people not to take it out on the kids, to try to not take it out on the kids. I mean, I truly believe that the point of the divorce is to relieve stress on you and ultimately the whole family.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know? So
that's right. Otherwise, why are we going through all this pain and heartache if we're not actually trying to just get to a better life for all of us?
Right. Right. And again, it can make it a little bit harder, because with these divorces, there's so many moving parts, because sometimes in the divorce complaint, we're alleging custody, we're doing spousals, we're doing all types of supports, we're doing, you know, there's a range, there's just so many different complex emotions that are being dealt with or needed to be handled. And it's very important to try to, this is just why I encourage therapy.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
For all. To try to help yourself, to help the kids, to help everybody, just to get through this process as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
Yeah. And in that state of mind that actually serves you, right? Go work, sort through it, and then step into your, into the legal side with a sorted out mind space. Like, be in a real true space for yourself before you make just like a bunch of heated decisions that you're going to regret later.
Right. And it can be really hard and really tough to do. I know it can be really easy for us to say this right now, but that's again why I think therapy is so important, which is where you come in, honestly, which is like planning for that next step.
That's right.
Because I think that, you know, even though people don't want to do it or for whatever reasons, I just think that it will just make your life and your stress levels so much easier. And so, you know, just a little more zen.
Yeah. And bring you to a space where you knowing when you're done with the legal stuff, you have a life to look forward to.
Yeah.
This is not the end of the line. This is, now this is allowing you to, I think this is just coming full circle to your parents, to live in a lighter space so you can actually show up as the, happier, healthier version of yourself mentally, emotionally, all the things for the next part of your life. It's not the end. It's like we're just wrapping up a chapter mm-hmm. and trying to move through it in a really smart way so that we can now move forward in life as a version of ourselves that we're really proud of.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think divorce is, I know a lot of people think for whatever reason, everybody think they failed. We're getting a divorce. No. If you were able to live with another person, to be married to another person for 1 year, 2 year, 5, 10, 20 years, I think that was a 1 year success or 2 year success or 10 year success. You did this thing very successfully for however many things or however many years or months or whatever that you did it. And now it is just time now just for a new chapter. And that's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And divorce is a very courageous act. It really is, because it takes one or both parties to step into a space of total discomfort. It's not an easy way out. It's very uncertain and not very pleasurable whatsoever. So to do it is a very courageous act. It's not something that people just do lightly. It's mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, you're mm-hmm. doing it for a purpose, for mm-hmm. a better life for yourself. And if your family is involved, that too.
Yeah. And you're taking control, I think, of your life, your emotions, your, you know, just your future. And I think that's a very powerful thing to do. So, yeah. So absolutely. For those that need it, I encourage it.
So good. This conversation, I know, is going to help a lot of people. So I just want to thank you so much for all of your amazing tips and your time. But before we go, how can listeners get more of you in their life? How can they find you? What's going on?
Oh, yes. So I am, again, located in Media, Pennsylvania. You can always find me on the web, on my website, which is www.griffinlawpa.com. Or anybody can give me a call. My number is 610-886-5550.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And we're going to put all of Tiffany's information in the show notes so you can get access to her. She also is giving a special discount right now. So the code will be in the show notes for you to go snag it, scroll through, give her a call, get that consultation, and she will let you know. You guys can decide together if it's a good fit for you. I always ask my guests two closing questions. And the first one is, Tiffany, what's one thing that you really love about you?
Oh,
I know that one always catches everybody off guard. It's like, what, me?
No, I'm thinking one thing. Stop.
Yes, that's even better.
No, one thing that I think I truly love about me, I would have to say, I think I would have to say just my accomplishments and my, I started my own firm, Griffin Law Group, about in the height of the pandemic, and we are still going strong, and you know, and I'm loving it. It was a dare from my sister, my older sister. Yeah, she has since passed away, and it was, yeah, I know it hurt my heart, but it's like, joke's on you, I did it.
Yeah, look at me now. I think she would just be so elated. Yeah. She is so elated and proud of you for just showing her that that's who you are. And oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. And the second question is, what does joy feel like in your body?
Oh man, it feels like chocolate. No, joy. I I'm a new mom. So, like, as exhausting and as tiring as being a mother has been, joy every day for me is my little one. Like, look, she has the biggest, brightest, beautiful eyes, and it just brings me so much joy. I promise you, I feel it in my toenails. She makes me laugh. And she literally, she's just so delightful. And she's at that phase where anything that I do or, you know, her dad does just makes her just giggle. And she has the best giggle. And it just, It lights me up and it gives me energy and I love it.
Baby giggles are the best.
Yeah. She is. So I'm in a really good space with her and you know, it's just great. I love it.
And the first time I met you, you were doing all the things. You were like on the call with me, holding the baby, doing the momming, doing the working. And I was like, this woman is incredible. I was just like, I could feel your energy. I could feel your joy. I could feel like that you were just like, I got this. And it was really, really incredible. And she's beautiful. And I can see why she brings you so much joy.
She's great.
What a treasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on this episode today. Yeah. I appreciate your time, your expertise, your energy, all of it. You are the real deal. And I can't wait for people to find you.
Oh, thanks, Heidi. Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed this. I promise. I didn't even realize we were out of time. We could have just kept talking like old pals.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And as a kind reminder to all of our listeners, just remember you are safe. You are loved. You are enough. Go out into the world, shine your light bright and live a limitless life. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. If you loved our chat or know someone who would, take a quick screenshot and share it now. Or leave a 5-star review so this message can reach the masses. Let's continue connecting. Drop me a DM at Your Divorce Planner or go to yourdivorceplannerhub.com to start coordinating your comeback today. You can even schedule a free connection call to dive into your desires and understand how partnering with your divorce planner will be a game changer for your next chapter. Tune in next week for another transformational topic. And remember, you are loved, you are worthy, you are enough. Take care.